Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Magic Hour with May and Mel.
Woo! How you doing, Mel?
I'm doing spectacularly.
That's good. So I'm really happy to have you back in this office of mine where we're hanging out, even though you're allergic to cats and I happen to have four. And, you know, you're a real trooper, Mel.
I actually really like it here. It feels very comfy.
Good, good. I like it.
Yeah.
In my messy office / room where I keep all my clothes and stuff.
Hey, you have to hold Magic Hour where the magic happens.
I love magic and I love when the magic happens. And I have actually been thinking a lot about magic. I had a dream last night and I know that you sometimes interpret dreams. And I was wondering if I could tell you what my dream was.
Of course, I would love to hear about your dream.
Okay, so it was very, very intense, sort of big waves in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And I have dreams that I'm in the ocean often. So I'm like deep at sea. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I see a big sort of, not like a carnival ride, but an amusement ride. Mm-hmm. Like gigantic. And it was in yellow and pink. And yeah, and then I had to like swim away from it and escape and not drown. And then I eventually woke up.
Well, I recently did a presentation on dream interpretation. It is called onirology, and it is derived from the word onir, O-N-E-I-R-O. A Greek god who is apparently the son of Achilles and some chick he married. And so, you know, dreams can be considered messages from the spirit realm, from the gods. They could be portents of things to come. They can mean a number of different things. What I have learned from everybody's interpretations of dreams is that they are a way to know yourself more clearly. So typically, dreams that involve water represent emotions. Mm-hmm. And so I would venture to guess that you've been having some big emotions, some big ocean-like emotions and thoughts. And even this Magic Hour endeavor we're doing is like a big ocean-like, oceanic thought.
It sort of is. But the thing is I feel like I'm on a little bit of a cocktail of medication. Nothing too serious, nothing too heavy or potent. But I don't know that I can like feel that like ocean of emotion.
Well, see, that's the thing. You may not be able to feel the emotions in your waking hours, but in your dreams, that's where your subconscious processes everything from the day. There's even a train of thought that your dreams are a way for your brain to reset. So it does allow for just a whole bunch of stuff to come up so you can be more prepared for the days to come. So I'm not surprised if it showed up very gargantuan in your sleep. And then you talk about an amusement ride. And, you know, I don't know if you were feeling trepidatious or excited, but there was this kind of scary thrill that I pictured with you on this ocean with these rides. And it's like, hold on to your butt, you know, but like, I should be scared, but I'm not, but I kind of, and I like it. So,
yeah. Okay. That's so interesting. Dreams are very interesting. Obviously, they're ancient. They're probably as old as we are, and creatures older. Creatures even before us have dreams and all of that. And like even in the Bible, the story of Joseph and his colorful coat and his brothers who sell him. I mean, he saved his own life basically in Egypt by interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. He sure did. But it goes back even further than that. The Macedonians, the Sumerians, and the Babylonians, they were the first people to document dreams on clay tablets. I think even the epic poem of Gilgamesh is one a really big dream interpretation tome. I think that was from that era as well. If only I had my PowerPoint with me, I could have pointed it out to you.
Let's refer back to the PowerPoint. No, it's more fun when you just tell me what you remember off your head.
Cool.
I like that. And I had no idea the Epic of Gilgamesh maybe was a dream.
Yeah, it's about dream and dream interpretation. All the way back to Agamemnon, even.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, I get it all mixed up, but yeah, Agamemnon was this king and he was warring, and Achilles helped Agamemnon by telling him some stuff because he was also a messenger from the gods, mm-hmm. and told him to like rally and continue the war versus retreating or something like that. And yeah, it's all historical.
Sleep is interesting, too. It's like you really do sort of leave your body. And I know in some cultures and in some religions, I guess I'm thinking specifically, I think in Judaism, there's a prayer that you do when you first wake up in the morning, and it thanks God for returning your soul back into your body.
Like, astral projection.
Oh, do you know? Well, what do you know? Have you done it? Have you tried to do it? Can you do it? What's the secret?
What's the secret? So in my studies, I've discovered that understanding your auras and the aura system is very important with astral projection, because to understand the astral plane, so your aura, it is comprised of several levels. So you could think about your body being like the earth, where there's like a core, a mid layer, a mantle, the troll kingdom, then the freaking dirt, and then the grass, and then buildings. So like there's strata to the human body's, to the human body's energy field. And I think it's the fifth or sixth, layer is the astral field, which correlates with your third eye. And in that astral plane, you are able to be able to project yourself into different places within this timeline, I think.
Wow.
So it isn't like necessarily astral projecting back into historic places or past lives. That's something
people claim you can do that.
Well, I do past life regression meditations for healing. So you can get glimpses of your past life. And I think that that is definitely energy from your astral plane, because you do use your third eye to allow yourself to go back and take in whatever energies from your previous existence. So whatever those energies have to offer you from your previous existences. But actual astral projection has been something that I have thought about doing. But half of deciding to do something means you have to have a real desire to want to do it. And honestly, I'm like, where the fuck do I want to go? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, it'd be really great to astral project, but where? Where, who, why? I'd much rather go to Narnia in my brain than to go to, like, you know, Greece in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Like, know? When you astral project somewhere, like, is it going to be crowded like it is, like, in real life?
No, it's...
It's a different plane altogether?
Yeah, it's a different plane altogether. And whatever, at least this is what I've I've gleaned, whatever best suits you and your personality is what will show up, you know, but it is kind of like a journey, like a personal journey. I can say that I had this dream like experience where I had just broken up with my ex, and like I woke up and I knew that I was with him and that he was thinking of me, and I was like there with him, and I knew that like he was totally thinking about me. Mm-hmm. It was like we had met up and then we were like, peace.
That's amazing. I've definitely had moments with people where I knew exactly the words in their brain, mm-hmm. and like were able to pull it out.
I think it's also because you're psychic, but yeah.
You never know. I mean, I think we probably do have like these psychic fragments within us.
Every single person can be a clairvoyant, a clairaudient, a clairsentient, a claircognizant. Every person can. It's just about whether or not they want to devote portions of their life to discovering it.
Yeah. It's intense. There's a see, I'm in marketing, and I love statistics. I love culture. Statistics in the way that, like, yeah, you can use them to manipulate, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking like, okay, if we are looking at a study. So there's studies like people who are clairvoyant and people who do end up in like sort of this spiritual psychic field tend to have higher percentages of like an illness, a malady.
Suicide, drug abuse.
Well, something, right?
Trauma prone.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, you know, all right, let's take every superhero origin story. How do these superheroes find out about their powers? Through extreme trauma, through extreme adversity, through extreme challenges. Mm. You know, electrocution, getting bitten by a radioactive spider. That's kind of traumatic. You know what I mean? Death. Doctor Strange, right? He was in this crazy ass accident. He lost his hand, the use of his hands, you know, and he traveled to this land and then, you know, devoted his life to being a monk of some sort and discovered he had powers. I mean, to totally eschew your lifestyle, you know, to heal yourself and move to Kathmandu, that's pretty traumatic. And so...
And Doctor Strange is a really good movie. I liked the both of them. I liked the second one a lot with Wanda.
I that one I was just kind of like, eh. I really liked the first one. And I watched the cartoons.
Oh, you did?
I did. I really like cartoons.
I still like cartoons too. I love the old X-Men. And did you know that they're extending the story?
I did.
I just found that out recently.
I do know that.
Yes. I'm excited. Actually, if you look through my toys, I have a lot of Magnetos. I love Magneto. I have Professor X over there. Maybe they're not up here, but I have a Gambit, which is in the box still. Nice. I love toys. So around my office, there's action figures. But then when I decided to settle down with a lady, I had to stop collecting toys because it's a waste of money. Not to me, but
tell that to my husband, my ex-husband, soon to be ex-husband.
Wait, yeah,
he didn't stop.
We were just talking about the sort of like other planes. Now, I know you like to read and watch movies. Have you ever read or watched the movie Night Watch? It's a Russian story.
Yes. Wait.
Have you ever heard the one about Anton Gorodetsky?
No. Wait. Is this about zombies?
No, it's not. No zombies in this.
Okay, then I'm thinking of something else.
I have to send you this.
Yeah.
It's a movie, and the movies are good, but not nearly as good as the books. The books are really good, and the books are on audio, and the audiobooks are excellent.
I'm looking for it right now, and here I'm going to plug Libby and Hoopla. Hey, every adult and child needs to have a public library card, okay? Go to your public library and get a public library card. Then download the apps Libby and Hoopla. You can listen to books for free. You can read books for free. This is the only place where knowledge is free, people.
And shows, too, on Hoopla.
And shows.
And you can read graphic novels on Hoopla.
Yes. Oh, that's so fun.
Magazines.
I've read graphic novels on Hoopla. And then Same. You can, like,
zoom in
on different frames.
Double tap the frames. I love it.
So you said it was called Night Watch?
Yeah, Night Watch.
Night Watch.
There's a whole series. There's Night Watch, Day Watch, Twilight Watch. Like, I forget, but like there's a bunch of books. There's only two movies, and both of the movies, even though they're called Night Watch and the sequel is called Day Watch, they're both based on the first book, Night Watch.
Why do I feel like I've seen Night Watch and Day Watch, but I can't figure out where they're from? Like, their plots.
Well, even if
I probably have.
Even if you've seen the movies, if you're like, I'm telling you, the audiobooks are excellent.
So who was the author?
Oh, he has a Russian last name. Hold on, let me look it up.
All right. Night Watch. Series. Dan Flynn. Television on A&E. That's what came up in Hoopla.
No. This is not what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think it's in Hoopla, Libby. Because I'm like refusing.
Oh, his name is Sergei Lukyanenko.
What are you doing, you blockhead? He hissed at his attacker. Do you want me to shout for the night watch? The patch of darkness at the traveler's feet growled resentfully. It's lucky for you that I'm late.
So this guy who reads it, because all the characters are Russian, when they speak, he does like a Russian accent.
And oh, that's so cool. I have to tell you,
I do appreciate it.
Dude,
it's great. And it's like the way that he paints the picture, and like most of the Night Watch and Day Watch, I think they both take place in Moscow.
Okay.
But then like the next one, it's like, I think he goes to Prague, and like, then there's a later one where he's in Scotland. It's really good. Yeah, unfortunately, if it's not on Hoopla, I think it's only on Audible.
Probably.
I hate that.
Curse you, Amazon!
Curse you!
Amazon and Audible. Bah!
Well, we'll look for them anyway. But anyway, if you haven't seen, you can always watch the movies, though.
Yeah.
But you know, the books are.
Yeah, I've been actually doing Dragons lately. So
what's Dragons? Tell me what that is.
Oh, movies and books and cartoons about dragons.
Oh, you've just been like, mm-hmm. Okay, do you start with like Puff the Magic Dragon?
No.
Or you're past that?
No.
No puffing for you.
We totally were playing that song earlier today.
Puff the Magic Dragon lives by the sea. Magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honalee.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land.
Bethany is going to lose her shit today.
I don't know the rest of the
song.
We
were playing that song today because Clementine was playing this Mario game. And then all of a sudden, this Mario game turned into this terrible acid trip. And it was like dragons and jack-o'-lanterns trying to eat her. It was crazy. These video games are no joke. But yeah, so I actually had a meditation where I tapped into my energy as a dragon. I was a dragon in a former life. Yes, I know.
Are you a dragon in Chinese astrology?
No.
What are you?
I'm the year of the monkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. But
that's so cool. I do believe that dragons once existed for sure, because A, Chinese astrology, there's a dragon, and all the other animals in Chinese astrology exist. And B, there's flags like the Welsh flag. How cool is that flag? There's a dragon. That's their symbol.
I know. So many cultures can't be wrong.
I know.
So can I tell you about my dragon meditation?
Please. I would love to hear it.
So it turns out it's very closely linked to my relationship with my mother and mothers in general. So dragons aren't very maternal per se. So they have an egg. They protect it. They are very invested in cultivating a new dragon, right? And so when that dragon is born, they are dedicated to having it grow to be a strong dragon physically. So it can fly, it can hunt, it can do all this stuff. And so I had these meditations where my dragon mom was just like, bitch, come on. You know, she wasn't very nurturing. She wasn't, but it wasn't like a bad thing. She wasn't very nurturing. She wasn't very hovering. It was like, this is what we do. You want to survive? Then this is what you do. Own the fact that you're a dragon and act like it. And she flew with me for a while. And then she was like, yo, I'm out. I gotta go make more dragons. And so I was a young dragon and I had interactions with humans. Definitely ate my share of livestock, but my demise, I died inside of a mountain. So there was a point in time where I said, enough of this. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of seeing what's going on. And I went into a mountain, into a cave, and that's where I fell asleep. And so I also have this thing where sleep is like paradise for me. And I fell asleep. I went to sleep in the cave and I didn't wake up. And something about a dragon's consciousness, like when they sleep, they like live in their sleep, you mm-hmm. know? And so I slept until I died, and then I was absorbed by the mountain. But it took many, many years for me to die, you know? But I lived in this dreamland, and I was absorbed by the mountain, and I'm, and my dragon body is part of a mountain somewhere.
Yes. That would be amazing if you went to a cave or a mountain somewhere and you saw that body.
You know what? That might be a cool thing to astral project to.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think I might try that. You figured it out. Yeah.
Actually, that's a great idea. You have to report back on that.
Yeah, I might try that. I might try that.
Wow. Dragons. I know nothing from dragons except for the fact that in Lord of the Rings. No, in The Hobbit.
Smaug.
In The Hobbit, there's a dragon. The is there a Drake. Hobbit in Lord of the Rings as well? I know that. I think just The Hobbit, right?
No, yeah. Just The Hobbit.
Harry Potter has lots of dragons.
Yeah. I read the Christopher Paolini series, Aragorn and Saphira. And then now I'm reading Robin Hobb has a series of books, Dragon Keeper, Dragon City, Dragon Haven. I'm reading her books now.
And what's the perspective? Are you a dragon? Are you a person who's the antagonist, protagonist, sort of a.
So for me, I've always been like mermaid, mermaid, mermaid. In this stage of my life, I do have a fire within me. And I am literally shooting that fire out and seeing what type of flames I can catch from, you know, my What the Fuck America TikTok show to doing the readings, doing mediumship, doing the healings, teaching the yogas, teaching the meditation, trying to put out spiritual content, did this. And I'm stepping into this dragon-like energy. And this dragon-like energy is like, you can't help but look at me. You are going to not necessarily feel me, but be enthralled, because dragons are really good at enthralling people because they were so powerful and so intelligent and so unbelievable. So I've been stepping into dragon energy, less mermaid energy.
Okay. Which is so weird. Wow. So like going from, but you still have scales. You're going from the sea to the air. No, but I mean in the books though too, like what are the books about?
Some books are written with the dragon as the first person.
Okay.
Some books are written with the keepers, the people who are looking for the dragons, the people who are caring for the dragons.
Okay.
But every dragon is are personified. They're never just like, you know, accessories.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really, really cool. Especially the Christopher Paolini Aragorn series. Like when you listen to it on the audiobooks, it's like you fall in love with Saphira, the dragon, and you fall in love with the other dragons that they encounter, and you get very invested. At least I did. Some people don't particularly care for them, but, you know, I'm very easy when it comes to fantasy.
I love that. That's why I think you'll really like the Night Watch and the Day Watch books, too.
Yeah, I'm going to check them out.
It's so like, it's like otherworldly. I think you'll really like it.
Yeah, I'm going to check them out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll actually check them out of the library.
Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you, you said you were studying paranormal.
Oh my God, yes.
Activity. That would scare the shit out of me, A. I would get the heebie-jeebies from doing something like that. But please, tell me what you're learning.
So I joined an organization called NJ Rope.
And that's not about like rope play.
No.
Kink.
Oh my God.
That's what I thought.
Frank Lazzaro in our rope play sessions.
I'm reading about dragons and ropes.
And rope play. Yes, we discuss rope playing over Zoom. No, it's called NJ Rope, something New Jersey research organization, the paranormal experimentation. Or something like that. We go and we investigate paranormal situations, sightings, occurrences. And there's a very specific reason why I joined this group. I joined this group because they're heavy on education.
Yeah, that's good.
And without giving away all my secret plans, I want people to understand that what we call paranormal is supernatural. Means that it's natural and it's fucking super.
Like ether?
Like ether. And so when we encounter paranormal or supernatural energies, because we are unaccustomed to interacting with them, it feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we are in a place where anything that feels uncomfortable or anything that brings us fear is wrong and bad. And so I believe that when you're interacting with energies that may be transitioned in humans, can't be bad. Can't. They have ascended past good and bad. We're just uncomfortable with it, and that we can actually normalize interacting with these energies, move our fear aside, and then start to learn from it.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I have to like really think about that, because I'm like, okay, well, I don't know that there is an objective good or bad, but subjectively, like my trauma from being attacked by a dog as a child, or like my generational trauma from my mom, like, you know, if it's not bad, it certainly is a pain in my ass.
So that's another thing, right? It's like, does pain have to be categorized as bad? Mm-hmm. Can it be categorized as uncomfortable sensation?
Now we're talking about rope play again, right?
It always goes back to ropes.
Yeah. Well, definitely, I know that discomfort helps you grow, and mm-hmm. it's good to be uncomfortable, especially when you're in a stage of learning and you have to remind yourself when you're at the beginning stages, like, I'm new at this. Like when you're young and you're always in school, you're kind of used to like, oh, I don't know this yet. But when you're, you know, fully grown and you're in the world, sometimes it's hard to be like, okay, I am going to be a beginner at something, or I am going to learn something. Like that's really uncomfortable.
Well, that's why I encourage people to never be fully grown. What the hell is fully grown?
I think it's a made up thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly.
Exactly.
I don't know what fully grown is.
I think it's a made up thing too. We continue to grow until we die. So what's fully grown?
It's very interesting.
We were taught that there's a destination we were supposed to reach. And that is a lie. There is no destination. It's all about the journey. It's about every step you take on the journey to death.
Beauty.
I'll miss you.
Every move you. No, no,
I'm watching you. Yeah. I'm missing you. Sorry. My death metal side came out.
I like death metal. I like it a lot. Talk about uncomfortable. Like for me and my personal experience, you know, I had like a, not like a legitimate checklist, but sort of an internal checklist of like what I wanted to accomplish and do. And like one of the big things for me was I have to go to grad school. I have to prove to myself mm-hmm. that I can be at this level and like immerse myself, went blah, blah, blah. And I did that. And then I was like, you know, okay, what do I do now?
Can we go back to rope play? Because now I'm fucking triggered.
Are you? I'm sorry.
Much rather talk about the ropes. Dude, you just said like the most triggering word to me. Do you know what it was?
No.
Checklist.
Oh, checklist.
Like, and especially being, if y'all ain't know already, a black woman, the fucking checklist and how I fucked that checklist. I totally didn't do anything on it. Well, no. I mean, I went to college, mm-hmm. but that checklist held me prisoner mm-hmm. because it was going to be the tangible piece of evidence that I was a worthy human being.
Yeah.
And when I found out that the checklist did not apply to me anymore, I had no barometer to judge my worthiness, mm-hmm. my success, my anything. And I made a lot of decisions in my life in hopes of just checking one more thing off the checklist. And they were not always, they were very helpful decisions, but they weren't always in my best interest. And I know it's like weird. People have different things that trigger them. And I could totally take this and ride it for all the emotion it's got. But I'm not about that story right now. I'd much rather go back to the ropes. But like,
or the dragons.
Or the dragons. Just talk about dragons now. No, but like seriously, the checklist. And I get envious. I envy people who can abide by and accomplish their checklist.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. I have a big problem with that. Like envy, jealousy. Why can't, and then like using that envy and that jealousy to like hurt myself and just be like, you suck. You're the worst. You can't ever, you know, there's something wrong with you, that you would never be this kind of person, or you could never do that. Or
my birthday is Saturday and I'm going to be 44. And I was at the Awakened
Center. February 24th?
Yeah. 2/24/24. I will be 44. I said it.
That's like a whole angel number times whatever.
It is.
That's amazing.
It is.
How are you celebrating? What are you doing?
Working.
Yeah, but are you going to take some time for yourself at all?
Okay. I have an event, a spiritual afternoon in Glenside, Pennsylvania. I will be doing readings there. And then I might go back to the Awaken Center, which is in Plymouth Meeting Mall. It's a center where I do readings and teach yoga and meditation. Might go back there because they're doing a crystal skull message session, which is pretty interesting, but whatever. I had plans to go dancing at this club in Philly called Concourse because they have a ball pit.
What? They have a ball pit?
Yeah, I had planned to go dancing.
And you're a dragon, so people are going to be like, shorty fire burning on the dance floor.
Oh my God. Whoa! No. And then I got so tired. I was like, I don't have the energy to go dancing by myself and act like I feel attractive or that I feel strong right now.
Yeah.
I need all my energies to make content. But the reason why I mentioned my birthday is because I was at the Awaken Center and, you know, it was an okay day, but nobody showed up for meditation. Nobody wanted a reading. And I spent a lot of time just telling people, like welcoming them, just doing the welcome, you know, so they can return and know it's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't make any money and, you know, I was acting a little crazy and I started apologizing to myself. And I said to my coworker, I was like, Greg, it's been 44 years and I've been trying to change who I am and I just can't do it. I am so sick and tired of being this person. But when things don't go my way, I'm going to act fucking silly and I'm going to be annoying and I can't change this person. I give up. I surrender. And when we talk about the checklists and, you know, the envy that we have for other people who seem to be able to abide by their checklist, it's just like finally, and it hasn't been 44 years. It's been maybe more like 42 years, 40 years that I'd always dreamed that I could be someone who could just toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I don't toe the line and that's fucking fine. So what am I going to do with this next? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard. It becomes exhausting too. It's like that deep level, like you learn to hate yourself so deeply where you're like, it's so normalized for yourself.
Well, that was definitely definitely full peak in my 20s, in my early 30s, then moving into my 30s and 40s, I discovered that, wait a minute, everybody out here, everybody outside my body is trying to kill me or subjugate me. Why the fuck am I going to try to kill me and subjugate me too? Like that's assault on all fronts. And then with the spiritual practice, it became clear that when I cause harm to myself, I'm practicing arrogance. I'm saying to the world, to whoever's running this shit show, right? Jesus, Buddha, God, Satan, Allah, yeah. Kali, whoever's running this shit, that I think better than you, that you made me perfect, but you're not perfect enough. I'm sorry. I know better about what perfect's supposed to be. And therefore this thing, me, deserves to be hurt and punished because I don't like something about it. And that's self-harm. And I realized, like, bitch, you can't keep self-harming yourself. Like, that is wrong. That is arrogance. That is literally asking to be a victim, to be in pain, especially when you're in a world that doesn't really care if you're comfortable or not.
No. All the world wants from you is, especially in this country, is that you buy.
Your blood, sweat, tears, and semen.
No, but it's anything. Sorry. It's like
my semen.
Not your personal semen.
Yeah, I don't have any semen.
Not yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Not on you. Right now.
No semen on me now.
I love how my mic stand just broke.
Get out of here. That blows.
It does blow, but it's okay. We'll live. Wait, I was really going to ask you something and now I completely
forgot. You're going to ask me about any semen.
Oh, yeah.
Have
semen.
I been? Yes.
Have you been seeing men?
Seeing men.
How, like, you're in this field and, you know, you balance helping people with, like, selling yourself. Not selling yourself, but, like, selling a product. Like, your product is, like, your spirituality and how in touch you are and how you're able to bring somebody to that level with you. And that is sort of an amazing thing. And we live in this culture where it's like, buy, sell. Like, that's all we can do is buy and sell. That's like the, honestly, dude, like, even with my job, it's like I go to work, but like they're buying me and I'm, you know, yeah, selling them my whatever I do.
One day I'll tell you the story of how I came to this place, but long and the short of it is that I was sick and tired of having my blood, sweat, and tears go to somebody else's bottom line. And I wanted all my efforts to go to my bottom line. So I decided to make Melanie Thompson my business. So self-care begins a tax write-off, a business expense.
Yeah, but it's important.
Because, yes, it's how I conduct my life, what I think, what I'm sharing, you know, is going to be my product. And the thing is, yes, I do ask people to buy it, but I'm not opposed of giving it away.
And you do. I've seen you.
You've seen me. You know, I can't keep it unless I give it away and share it freely. And so I know that the physical representation of resources will come to me, but it's really about what I did, you know?
Absolutely.
And how I did it.
And, you know, there's always going to be somebody trying to sell you something as a business owner.
Girl,
I can help you do this. I can, you know, buy this, take this class, do this. And it's like, it is designed in a way to just get to you. Like, do I need this? It's being offered. Do I need it?
You know what I found? It doesn't even fucking matter if I need it because I can't pay for it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, using teleprompter apps and realizing, oh shit, after the free trial, they want to charge me $89. Like, nope.
Everything is too expensive now anyway. Oh, and it's like, I love this sort of DIY. When I was growing up, and even now I'm still like this, like, and I'm in this industry, I work in cosmetics, I do like brand development and marketing, and everything is so produced and everything is so like money behind it and you pay for this, pay for that. And it's like, I love DIY culture. I love zines. I don't know if you know what a zine is, like a fanzine. I love doing a podcast with you, like in my freaking office. I love making my own t-shirts. I like,
yeah,
all that stuff.
You want to hear a bit of magic that happened to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I do.
So ever since I started Enlightened Spirit Illuminations and Healing, that's my business, I knew I needed a website,
mm-hmm,
but I couldn't afford a website. It's just ridiculous. I purchased my domain name, but I couldn't lend it to a website. So I got a Linktree. And so I do everything through Linktree. I do pay for a premium subscription for that, but it was like only like, it was really nominal. And so I've been just working hard for the past year, and I've been working at this Awaken Center, and my coworker is a web designer. And just yesterday he said, you know what, Mel, we're going to make you a rock star. And I was like, yeah, I've done the prerequisite drugs, so I'm ready to rock and roll now.
I have it in my blood.
And he said, I'll build you your website and I'll host it for free. You just pay for the firewall and the security.
Wow. That is magic.
So this is something that I needed, that I didn't pull the trigger on when I first started and throw all my money at, and I waited.
Well, you did the right thing.
And I showed up and acted as if that I have a legitimate business even before incorporation, even before I got, you know, the website and the everything. And I acted as if, and I gave of myself. And this is how I'm rewarded.
I love that. It's like you go, you take the steps, you do what you need to do. And then it's like one of my exes used to have this this sort of painting going up the stairs to the apartment. And it said, jump and the net will appear. Mm. And I used to get so pissed off at that because I used to be like, fucking net. This is some privileged as shit. This woman telling me to jump or like having this art and the net will appear. Like you have no idea what it is to have no net. But that's the universe. That's the magic in the ether. That's.
It's so funny that you said that because I did a little spoken word thing this week that I was going to maybe put online or something. And I said something about a safety net and that there was a net for me, but the holes were too big. So I fell through. And then eventually, you know, I kept waiting. I'm like, oh, this time the net's going to catch me. This mm-hmm. time the net's going to catch me. And I kept falling. And it was like, eventually I said, fuck the net. And I just ended up flying.
I love that. I was thinking more like parkour. But flying's even better. I'm like,
parkour.
I know. Like, could you do like a crazy roll when you land on the ground?
Yeah. And even when I go splat, like, it's like, okay, you get a little vacation and then you start over again.
You reset.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. I love it. Wow. The magic of things that happen every day. So last week you left off telling us that you love the movie Fight Club and that you were going to go into.
Oh my God. Yes. So I started writing this book based off of the 12 steps of recovery from alcoholism and drug abuse, but it's a spiritual recovery book because so many of us have been so harmed by what society has told us spirituality needs to be.
Mm.
An organized religion, a specific place, a clear idea of whom you are praying, talking to, meditating to for a identified purpose. And so I pretty much say, fuck all that. You know, that's not what spirituality is at all. And it's steps 1 through 12 on how you can recover spiritually. But based off of the doctrine of Fight Club, you know, like the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
No, you can't.
So the first rule, when everybody ends up talking about Fight Club, that comes later, right?
Yeah.
But like, you don't talk about it. Your spirituality is nobody else's business.
Yeah. I like this already.
So like, as much as I'm like talking about it, it is nobody else's business what you believe in and how you choose to honor that or not honor mm-hmm. that. Ain't none of these pastors, priests or fucking clergy people are going to be with you when you fucking die. Even when they read you the last rites, when you take your last breath, are they going to be there like, hey, God, hey, St. Peter, let me tell you what she did.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that at all. So it's nobody's business. So it doesn't matter who you believe in. And labels are a human construct. And the universe, whatever you want to fucking call it, allow us to have labels because they want us to feel happy and glad. But they don't care about the labels. And so you don't talk about it. It's a personal thing. You build it. And then, and you know, second rule is you don't talk about it. But, you know, that's another thing. But and then there's a third rule where it's like, you gotta fight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta fight.
Everybody fights.
You make a decision to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The second rule is a Fight Club where you don't talk about Fight Club. It's very much so in alignment with the second step where it's like, we have admitted that, you know, we're insane and that only acts of providence can restore us to sanity. Right. And so that's a whole other thing. But the third step where we make a decision to give our lives over, whatever, that's like we make a decision to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We make a decision to fight, not the people around us, but we fight inside ourselves to discover, to uncover
the inner battle,
what we believe, what we want, what we feel, what we experience, to accept it as our own, and then how to leverage it.
The word accept and acceptance, that's my trigger word. I can't accept fucking anything.
Should we go back to the ropes?
No.
We can go back to role play. Please.
Role play is great. I accept that I'm in this moment temporarily. That's as far as I can get with acceptance.
Do you know how powerful that is, though? To accept that you're in a moment temporarily is straight up fucking magic.
I love that. I love it.
There's no other way to describe it. You know, because it takes just that kernel, that mustard seed that can blossom into mustard gas. No, like a mustard plant.
I'm like, mustard gas. I don't think that's where we want to go. No,
but hey.
I mean, although I really was thinking, how do you like keep the news in politics? You said mustard gas and I just thought of like war and politicians. Yeah. Out of your mind. Do you not listen to the news?
No,
do you?
I don't listen to the news. I don't. So a large part of what I try to do is mind my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And to really use my energy where it can be most effective. And so right now, worrying about wars, I can't use my energy in that way. I can use my energy in, meditations for peace and understanding and compassion. And that's what I do. But I can't really get into all the nitty gritty of it all because people are going to do what people are going to do. And my job as a light worker is to shed light when people are willing and open to see it. OK. And so I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news. I do a news show, but it's based off of the specific issues I'm investigating at that moment. Because those are the issues I decided to shed light upon.
It's more like reporting. I mean,
it's reporting.
Yeah,
it's a lot of just regurgitation of articles that are already out there. Regurgitation and then, compiling it. And then delivering
it. You're talking more about it, too. You're expanding on it. The thing about a headline is that, or a story is that it's a blip in time and then it's over. And the way that are you on TikTok or anything like that?
Yeah.
Like, you know how that is. It's like you can just get lost in that shit. And everything is just like next thing, next thing, next thing.
Yeah. Which is a shame because it takes a lot of time and effort to make content.
It does take a long time.
And it's like, wow, it's really just a blip on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Hope somebody goes back and watches it. But even if you don't, it's like, whatever. It's part of your legacy. But no, I don't pay attention to those things. I really don't. Because the real war I'm fighting is with myself. You know, and how to be more compassionate with myself. How can I be the change I want to see? People don't learn because you yell at them or you tell them what to do. People learn by watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fight to make sure I get up every day, take a shower every day, show up as my best self every single day, and then to treat people with kindness and compassion and treat myself with kindness and compassion every single day.
Do you ever just go like on autopilot sometimes and forget those things, or is your autopilot now conditioned to be that way?
No, I make decisions every single day to be this way. My autopilot, like lately, well, not even lately, but I had worked on Monday. I worked Sunday and then I ended up working Monday. And so whenever I would go to work, I would listen to this mediumship meditation on my way to work. And Monday I said, fuck it, I'm not doing that. I'm listening to my story because I don't even want to meditate right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
get those dragons out now.
Yeah, I wanted to just play with the dragons. And then Spirit was like, what are you doing? You know, when you say you just want to fucking play with the dragons, you know, you're in trouble.
Mm.
You know, you're hurting. You know, you're tired. Let us be the balm. And so do the fucking meditation, Melanie. The dragons are going to be there when you come back. And so I have to say, all right, I'm going to make the decision to follow what Spirit says and then get to my dragons later. I can always listen to them on the ride home.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
But that's step three, is making the decision. Making the decision to fight for my greater good rather than laying down and expecting it just to come because I said, please.
No, I know. And you said something to me last week, too, where it was like, how are you inviting that into your life? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm not.
That's very powerful too, though. When you can admit and acknowledge that there are just some things you're not inviting into your life right now.
I should. I want to. I want to open myself up to invite some things in. But right now I feel pretty like mushy and closed off. But I'll get there. I know I'll get there. I have to roll myself down the hill and then walk back up it. And I don't even know.
Are you doing anything better? Like seriously, like is like if like if you don't have time to unpack and totally disassemble yourself, then you don't have fucking time.
No, I know.
I mean, it's like,
could I wake up and meditate in the morning? Yeah. Could I wake up and go for a run in the morning? Yeah. Am I? No.
They say when the pain gets great enough, and that's what I've learned. That's been a big touchstone, is that when I'm in enough pain, I'll do exactly what I need to do. And what I need to do is usually that thing I've been avoiding. So.
Amen. So what do you got on the docket for this? Your birthday is this weekend?
Yeah. So I'm going to be working, a lot of driving.
So you busy.
Yeah, I stay busy.
Good for you.
But it's, and I'm going to say it here, it's avoidance. It's creating a wide berth. I don't really have, I have a home. Like I have a place where I shower and I can go to bed. But it's, you know, it takes a little bit more than just a roof and a bed to make a home.
Mm-hmm, and so, definitely. And you are putting that out there that you will eventually.
Yeah.
In the next year or so, you're going to have a place where you can be like, wow. Your dragon is going to find it.
Yeah. Right now, dragon is just like soaring around the world. The wings might be a little tired, but it was born to fly. So that's what it's got to do. And so I'm just flying and I am, you know, scooping up cows and sheep as I pass and then moving right along.
Now, do dragons really collect gold and they love shiny things? Like in The Hobbit.
They enjoy food more.
They like the food. Okay.
So that was one thing about the dragon in The Hobbit, is that the dragon in The Hobbit, and even when I went into my cave, the dragon in The Hobbit suspended the desire for gold, usurped his desire for food and sustenance, sunlight, even fresh air. But that was because gold cast a spell on people. And that was a huge metaphor, that gold and riches warped anybody that came across it. That's why the dwarf king.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Arkenstone was a big part of it. But the dwarves.
Bilbo had to like do that whole lying thing. And
but even dwarves themselves, because they dealt with riches, were considered very stingy and very miserly beings because they dealt with these precious gems that they coveted so deeply. And so this dragon hasn't encountered anything that she's willing to covet yet and doesn't really want to covet anything because she's done that before. And coveting never yields positive results. Coveting always kind of puts you into a place of isolation and harbors fear, because if you covet something, there's always a fear that somebody will take it away from you. And nobody can take away anything from me.
Wow. Now that is powerful. And I think we should end it there.
Yeah, we can end it there. Let's go. We'll talk more about ropes later.
No, that, Mel, I'm so glad you're leaving us with that thought. And do you want to end it with sort of like a couple words of wisdom, a bit of a meditation, a something to leave us with? Or should I come up with something?
You come up with something.
My meditation is, don't get scammed. Don't buy stuff you don't need. And this is coming from somebody who all they do is market and sell stuff that you don't need. Take good care of yourself, though. Buy the things you do need. Don't buy just anything. You know, do what matters to you and live your life.
I have something.
Okay. Yours is probably much better than mine.
Well, actually, it's not even mine. It's something that people have told me. Don't quit before the miracle.
All right. Over and out.